Homer, the Wall Street genius!
Yeah.
Hey, Homer, how come you got money to burn?
Yeah, Homer, what's your secret investment?
This year I invested in pumpkins. They've been going up the whole month of October, and I got a feeling they're going to peak right around January.
I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and this is The Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey, money fans, man, do we have a great show today. Coming to sit at the card table, we welcome the host of PBS's hit show, Nova, David Pogue. Also, it turns out robo-advisors might be a little less robo-y. We'll break down the latest with Mr. Dough Roller himself, Rob Berger. And we'll throw out the Haven Lifeline to a lucky caller and still have time for my trivia and your letters. And here's two guys whose introductions I don't care to mention, Joe and O-J-J-J-J-G.
Doesn't care to mention.
Did he not just mention them?
Who writes his paycheck?
We better not use that as the high water mark for whether or not Doug does what we want him to do.
Did I just say paycheck? Does somebody actually get a paycheck? Hey, everybody, I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And sitting across the card table here in the basement today is the little bit under the weather OG.
I've got one of those flu masks on, like you see people in the airport walking through, surgical masks.
I could tell that.
So I can't breathe on you.
I could tell I work in the basement just with you. Mom's upstairs, never bothers us. Doug comes down once in a while, but I never see other people because I'm helping to put on this half marathon and I go to this TV station to promote it. And before us, they have these nurses on talking about the flu. And I'm like, is there something going on with the flu? And they look at me like, are you kidding me? The flu's all over the place, apparently. Apparently, the flu's all over the place.
I don't believe in it, so I'm not allowing that into my life. I'm willing it out of my life. I just, I'm going to breathe through the discomfort.
Well, that mental barrier, I'm sure will work.
Well, you know, doctors generally are big fans of not taking medicine, not visiting them.
Right. Homeopathic stuff.
Homeopathic.
Right.
You know, I will eat Halls mental lipticus and sit underneath a vaporizer for the next 42 hours and that I'll be appealed.
Did your mom give you a little whiskey with honey to stop coughing?
Mom didn't, but I'm going to do it to myself. I'm just skipping the honey part.
You know what else you should do to yourself? You should head to the place that'll help you also save money because getting rid of the cold and saving money at the same time, bam. Here's what you do. You refinance your debt. And to do that, you head to stackybenjamins.com/SOFI. They are the leader in marketplace lending. Over 225,000 people have refinanced debt with SoFi. They'll help you finance your regular student loans, your parent or plus loans. They funded over $15 billion with a B in loans to date. And listen to this. They've saved members over $1.45 billion. Our friend Dan Macklin at SoFi tells us it only takes a few minutes to find out how you can work with SoFi. So what are you waiting for? StackingBenjamins.com/. They don't only handle student loans, OG, but also personal loans if you're consolidating that credit card debt and mortgages. They're giving you $100 if you use our link for your personal loan or student loan, StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. And you can use that $100 toward the interest on the loan or send it to your favorite podcaster. And one of those two options is probably a good idea. The other place you need to go is the place that calls SoFi number one. That's Magnify Money. And this is a fantastic site. If you've been to Magnify Money, you know, I just said, what are you waiting for with SoFi? What are you waiting for on Magnify Money? Because let me pull it up right now. If you head to stackingbenjamins.com/Magnify Money, bam, there it is. You just have a toggle at the top that says, what are you looking for? Balance transfers, cashback rewards, 0% interest cards, checking accounts, savings accounts, link checking and savings accounts, CD rates, auto loans, small business loans, private student loans. Let's take a look, as we do from time to time, at savings account interest rates. Right now, it appears that the top rate is 1.15, and that's what we had said last time we looked. And that's at Poplar Direct. And also, like I said last time, Poplar is not going to like this, But Magnify Money says, yeah, they got the highest interest rate, but the complexity of the paperwork you got to fill out is an F. It's horrible. And the minimum balance is $5,000. You know, it's funny. I know nothing about Popular Direct, but immediately I know there's going to be a bunch of fine print, takes $5,000 minimum balance, but I get 1.15 if I survive all that. Very quick to read. I don't have to tell them anything about me. StackingBenjamins.com/magnify money. Popular Direct probably won't be an advertiser anytime soon.
Maybe they'll take this information and improve their process and product.
I hope so. And isn't it also the case that, you know, any publicity is good publicity?
I've heard that said.
Maybe. We're going to give publicity to a robo-advisor here. Big news before David Pogue coming down to the basement. How awesome is that?
Nice.
Guy's given 4 TED Talks.
Is that all?
Yeah, only 4. Nova, obviously, you've seen him there. You also see him on CBS Sunday Morning. He's won 4 Emmys, 2 Webby Awards, a Loeb Award for Journalism, written 80 books.
80?
80, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. This is number 80. Pogue's Basics, money. And he's coming down to the basement today. But first, got a fantastic headline.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's headlines.
And our headline today comes to us from Forbes. This is written by our friend Rob Berger over at Dole Roller. It says, Betterment adds human touch and raises its fees. I first met the CEO of Betterment, Rob Reitz, at a conference in 2011. At the time, I'd never heard of robo-advisors. John Stein explained the concept to me. He's the CEO of Betterment, and I was immediately hooked. It's funny, OG, we've talked a lot about robo-advisors on the show, and Betterment was one of the first ones.
Yeah, there's 2 major ones, right? Betterment and Wealthfront. Those are the 2 biggest ones.
With Schwab and, now coming on board. And
yeah, and well, every company's got their own little thing now. Yeah. Raymond James is coming out with one, and Merrill Lynch is coming out with one. And
right. You know,
somehow having a robot in charge of your money makes sense.
It's interesting because in this piece, Rob Berger writes about, well, is that the shortwave radio never rings. Hello?
Are you guys talking about me?
Oh, is this Rob Berger from Dole Roller?
It is.
Rob Berger, how are you doing, man?
I got this alert that popped up on my computer that said some guys were in some basement somewhere were talking about me.
You had to come on and defend your honor, huh?
Such as it is. Not much to defend, but here I am. I'll defend what little honor I've got left.
Well, I'm so glad you called because we're just talking about Betterment and they're adding new services. Can you just walk us through the blow-by-blow? What's Betterment adding that they didn't have before?
Sure. So they're adding a couple of things. Their basic service was either 15 basis points or 25 basis points, and that was for, you know, the computer to manage your investments. So they've done 3 things. The first is for that computer to continue to do what it always did. They're calling that Betterment Digital. And now that's a flat 25 basis points. So their 15 basis point offer is gone. It's now 25 basis points. If you want a CFP to talk to once a year, the fee goes up to 40 basis points. You got to have a $100,000 minimum balance for this. But for an extra, basically 15 basis points, you get a 1 phone call a year. And then if you want a CFP, you know, to talk to throughout the year, the fee goes up to 50 basis points. And for that, you need a minimum balance of $250,000. So basically, they've raised the price of their digital offering, what we have known and looked at for a couple of years now. And then they've added 2 levels of service if you want a human touch.
Are the human touch offerings, do you think those are just smoke and mirrors so they could raise the fee on the basic service?
No, I don't think so. Although I think they probably had to raise the fee on the basic service. My hunch is, and this is just pure speculation, that 15 basis points just wasn't financially feasible. So in some ways, I think adding these other services at the same time kind of, I wouldn't say obscures the cost increase because a lot of my folks in my community have complained about it. But it maybe softens the change a little bit. But I also think they found that some people, you know, want someone to talk to. And I think they felt that, and again, this is just my own take on it, that they were losing potential clients because folks, you know, they may like what Betterment's doing, but they wanted a financial advisor to talk to at least once a year and maybe more often.
Well, you write in your piece that, you know, once a year is how often a lot of people talk to their financial advisor. But if you have a $500,000 portfolio, Rob, that's a $750 phone call if you only talk to him once.
It is. Of course, you know, if you go to a more traditional investment advisor, the phone call is even more expensive, right? Because you're not going to be paying 40 basis points. You're going to probably be paying 100 basis points, 1%, or maybe even 1.5%. So, yeah, it is an expensive phone call, although if it gives you comfort and helps you, you know, stick to your investment plan, it could be very well worth it. So, but yes, it is, your math is correct. It's an expense. You know, I was a lawyer for 25 years. My phone calls were kind of expensive too, but and maybe some would say it gave less value. But yeah, it's an expensive phone call.
OG, let's get you into this conversation. You know, it's funny. We talked about before, our friend Michael Kitsis has written that good advisors shouldn't be afraid of the quote robos because they're not really advisors. Does this fill traditional advisors now with fear that now Betterment is now saying, hey, we got a bunch of CFPs and we're going to start playing that game?
Well, from my perspective, it doesn't. I found something interesting that Rob just said, which was if it provides you comfort to talk about your investment plan, I was under the impression that that's what the robot was for, was to take all of that emotion out of it. And what we've talked about repeatedly is that I don't think that in its current form, and it sounds like Rob somewhat agrees with it, partially because of the, you know, the cost structure of it. It just wasn't economic for them to be offering this, you know, this service at such a low price. So I'm not too sure what happens in the next, you know, 20 or 30% market decline. But my guess is there'll be some pretty healthy headwinds. To add further complexity to the whole situation, you can also be a Betterment institutional provider. So if you are a financial advisor, you can offer Betterment as one of your investment solutions for 25 basis points. And then you put your own fee on top of it. And when I was talking to them one time, I remember asking, like, why would I offer Betterment and add another, you know, 0.5% on top of it? Well, apparently so that we can do some phone calls or something.
I guess so. Rob, do you think Betterment and companies like this, do you think that they get worried at all that if this market that's been on such a tear for so long starts to go the opposite direction, that because it was all robot based and people, you know, they're creatures of habit and behavior, that behavior might lead people to not trust the robot anymore and go away?
They have to be concerned with that. I'd be stunned if they weren't, because, you know, robo-advisors haven't existed in a bear market, right? They didn't exist 07, 08, 09 like they do today. So they haven't gone through a 20 or 30 or 40% drop in the indexes. So they have to be worried about that. And I think, frankly, they need to be worried about it even with this new offering, because I think the next bear market is really going to be the test of whether these robo-advisors can continue to survive on a standalone basis. My instinct tells me they can't, by the way. But that's just my guess.
Oh, gee, that's you too. You're nodding your head.
Yeah, I'm with Rob on this one. My guess is that they end up getting folded into a larger asset manager, you know, BlackRock or somebody like that comes in and says, we'll take your... And see, the other thing too that I think advisors, yes, the question earlier about does this scare advisors? It's such a small percentage of the overall, you know, amount of investable net worth in the world that is available, so to speak, in terms of the pie. You know, you hear people talk about, you know, getting a share of the pie type of thing. You know, the last number that I heard was that Betterment was around 3 or 4 billion. Maybe it's a little bit more than that now. But I also read in an article that I think there's a total of $9 trillion of investment money out there. So Betterment could grow tenfold twice, and I don't think it even puts a dent in the overall pool of investable assets, so to speak. So, well, I think that robo-advisors will go away when the market goes down, you know, 30 or 40%. I think it just has to. I hope it doesn't, because they serve a purpose, and they serve a group of individuals that sometimes traditionally get shunned from, quote-unquote, traditional advisors, and this does a good job of helping them.
That's what I was going to ask you, Rob. You've got a healthy online community there at Dough Roller. You said earlier you've seen people complaining about the fees, but have you heard people out and out say they're going to leave because of the fee? Do you think this is going to be a lot of complaining, but people are going to stay, or are they going to lose some assets?
Well, among my community, a number of people have said they're out, they're done, they're going to Vanguard. Now, I kind of harp on the importance of keeping your fees low, so my community is sort of conditioned to, you know, look at every single basis point. And so a 15 basis point jump is, or I guess 10 basis point jump from 15 to 25 is significant. So a number of folks in my community have said, that's it, I'm out. You know, how much this will hurt Betterment as a whole, my gut tells me probably won't hurt them, that particular change, a lot. You know, time will tell. But among my community, yeah, a lot of folks are leaving.
Wow. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today, Rob. What a pleasant surprise to have you. How's the Don't Roller podcast, man? That thing rolls along. I love listening to your show.
Well, that you're too kind. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it's, well, like you, it's probably the best part of my day is recording a podcast.
Besides the fact I have to hang out with OG here, it's really good. But
hey, now.
That's why I do a show by myself.
That's right. Well, thanks for hanging out, man.
Don't give him any ideas.
I think the big lesson today, Rob, just one more thing. If there's a big lesson here at all that people can learn from our headlines, what's the number one takeaway from this move by Betterment?
Well, the number one takeaway for me is every basis point counts. You shouldn't think even a 10% basis point increase is insignificant. And to me, Vanguard Advisory Services at 30 basis points, that's the gold standard if you want some human being to help you. And if you're not going to use them, you're going to use someone else that's more expensive, fine. Just understand why you're making that choice.
We probably know him as the host of PBS's show Nova and as a regular guest on CBS Sunday Morning. If not, you know him because he writes a monthly column for Scientific Monthly. As we said earlier in the show, he's only given 4 TED Talks, OG. And you know why? Because he didn't have time for 6. Apparently, he's written 80 books. And in his leisure time, he's written this latest, Pogue on Money. These are the essential tips and shortcuts no one bothers to tell you about beating the system. We're going to talk about some fun shopping hacks today. Let's say hello to David Pogue. And David Pogue joins us in the basement. Have a seat, man. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, you know, before we get into money, I have to ask you just a couple personal questions about you, because if my information's right, your great uncle was Doc Edgerton, a.k.a. Papa Flash at MIT. Is that right?
You are quite right. How did you figure that out? Yeah, Uncle Harold. Harold Edgerton is my grandmother's brother. So he is the developer of the strobe lights and the underwater TV camera and a beloved MIT professor.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I know that his work was used by Jacques Cousteau, I think, to chase the Loch Ness Monster. How come you didn't go chasing after the Loch Ness Monster?
Probably because I was 9. but I do remember that quest. He spent a summer with Jacques with his sonar. Harold developed this really cool side-scan sonar. And it was a big deal in our family tree that he spent a summer in Loch Ness scrubbing the sides and bottom of the lock, very deep body of water, trying to find the monster. Shocker, they didn't find anything.
No, you should have said spoiler alert first. One more question about you before we get to money, David, which is that your degree, I think, was in music. Mine was in English, right? I ended up in finance. How the heck did you make the jump over to technology?
Well, it's sort of a weird story, but the super hyphenated version is that I was a struggling musician in New York City, and I was working part-time for a Mac user group, NYMUG, the New York Mac user group, and there was this piece of software called Finale that I really wanted, sheet music software, but it cost $1,000. I couldn't afford it, so at the suggestion of my editor, I wrote to the company and said, I'm a reviewer. Send me a free review copy. And they did. And I was hooked. That was the beginning of the end. I did that for many years. I would request free copies of stuff and get it.
Well, I was so excited to see you making the leap, at least for a short time here with Pogue's Basics Money into the money realm. But as a tech guy, David, how is tech changing the game for money management?
From my end, the consumer advocacy part of it, tech has made, the internet has made everything transparent. As a vendor, you can no longer get away with charging too much for something because the consumer doesn't know any better. You know, the ability to price compare, to track trends, to figure out under what circumstances prices will go up and down, it's all in the open now. And that was never true before.
Yeah, and you say, let's jump into some of these hacks that you have just from the first couple, you know, because I think the number of hacks you have in this book are a bazillion. I think that's the technical number. but you say right away that with people's buying habits, you can't control store pricing, but you can control when you buy.
That's right. And part of the lesson of Pogue's Basics Money is to teach you not only about the way your brain works. There's a lot of psychology to money, and we are not at all rational when it comes to spending and earning money, as anyone who thinks about it longer than 10 seconds will realize. But also, we need to sort of catch on to the way marketers and vendors work. So the timing thing, I mean, some of it's just insider information, like the fact that digital cameras have a cycle. They come out in February and October. So if you know that, you know, then you can know when either to buy the new model or when to wait for last year's model, which will suddenly become cheaper. A lot of it's common sense. Things become really cheap right after their peak season. So Halloween candy right after Halloween, bathing suits right after the summer's over, roses and flowers right after Valentine's Day. So there are certain cycles that you can use common sense. But especially when it comes to clothes and camping gear and grills and things that have seasonality to them, you can really make out like a bandit.
It just seems to take just a minimal amount of pre-planning.
Exactly. Just got to realize.
Speaking of pre-planning, I want to address couponing because it seems to me that sitting with scissors in the Sunday paper doesn't seem to make sense anymore. But you say that couponing is alive and well.
It is. I mean, it's possible to go way too far down the road. There was that show on TV, Extreme Couponers or something, about people who, you know, they go out and buy 7 copies of the Sunday paper so that they can cut out the same coupons over and over. And they have an entire shed dedicated to all the stuff that they don't need yet, but they bought it because it was on sale now and things like that. But you can definitely take advantage when you are going to buy something anyway of the internet's ability to round up the coupons for you. My wife actually turned me on to retailmenot.com, like forget me not, but retail me not. The idea here is that there are 20 million fans all over the world. Find discount codes and coupon codes and turn them in to Retail Me Not so that we can all use them. So I'd say whatever you're searching for, anything you can buy online, any big clothing store or electronic store or restaurants or movie tickets or travel tickets or pet stuff or drugstore stuff, whatever you're about to buy, first go to Retail Me Not and type it in and see if there's a coupon. I'd say about 80% of the time, there's a hit there for a discount for whatever store or category you were about to buy. At Christmas time, I wanted to give my mom a beautiful framed picture. I found 3 sets of us 3 children, 3 photographs that were very similar over the ages, right? And I wanted to mount them in a beautiful triplicate frame. And I love this site called mpix.com, letter M. It's they do beautiful printing and framing for really cheap. And I always use them, but I thought, well, let's see if my wife's right. And I plugged it in, and sure enough, 15% off any printing and framing. So it's just Retail Me Not. You got to use it.
That's amazing. Even for, obscure niche items like that. You also talk about all you need is your cell phone and Best Buy. When I read this in your book, this concept kind of blew me away, David, because I walk into a Best Buy, I see something, and you say, no matter what the price is, you can probably get it cheaper, but still just buy it there?
Well, first of all, in a formal sense, Best Buy has a price match guarantee. They promise to match the price of anything in any store within 25 miles. And they will also beat any price from the online stores like Amazon, or Tiger Direct or Dell.com or HP.com or Newegg.com, BHPhoto.com. So all you got to do is show your phone to the customer service person and boom, they'll give you whatever cheaper price you could find. And by the way, after this book came out, I got a note from a reader who says that he's had success just asking at the checkout. Like,
really?
Would you take 70 bucks for this?
Really?
Just asking. And they'll ask their manager and the manager goes, yeah, okay. if it's reasonable, if it's, 10 bucks off, 10% off, whatever, they'll say yes. It's just amazing. You think of haggling and negotiation as something that's common in third world countries, right? Not ours. But in fact, often you can use that technique.
You've got tips also about taking advantage of your Amazon Prime membership and kind of squeezing more juice out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. First big thing that your listeners have got to know about, you should, first of all, everyone should have a 2% off everything credit card. Obviously, you should have a 2% cash back. Fidelity has them. Citibank has them. They're no annual fee, and it's 2% off everything you buy, which comes out to, you know, thousands of bucks in your pocket at the end of the year. If your credit card is not giving you 2%, you're crazy. Okay, but there is, in fact, one better card, and it is Amazon's. It's good only for stuff you buy from Amazon. It's called the Amazon Prime Store Card. It's for Prime members, 5% off everything. So if you buy anything from Amazon, if you buy stuff, you set it up as your default payment method, and it's 5% cash back on everything you ever buy from Amazon. There's no credit card in the world that can match 5%.
I never knew, too. Yeah, I mean, you go through Amazon with a fine-tooth comb here, but I never knew that you could share your Amazon Prime membership with another family or with somebody else as long as you're comfortable giving that family your credit card information.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally okay and authorized. So even if they're in different homes and different places, they can both enjoy the same $100 a year Prime membership. And of course, Prime membership comes with unlimited movies, unlimited music, unlimited photo storage, early access to deals, and of course, free shipping, two-day shipping, and in big cities, free same-day shipping.
And by the way, back to when you were talking about everybody should have a card that pays them 2% cash back for people screaming at their listening device right now. David says, like, I think, David, in all capitals, you say, make sure you pay off your credit cards in full every month first before you implement
that. Yeah, that's right. That's the catch on all of these things, of course. That's why they're giving you these free, wonderful deals and the cash back is because 40% of us do not pay off our credit card every month. The average American who carries a balance is carrying $9,600 in balance. These tips are not for you. Your first job should be to get out of that hole. There are some really clever things you can do for that too. The first one you should know is that you can pay off your credit card balance with another credit card. That's totally normal. And what you do is you get a new credit card with a way lower interest rate or none. You know, Bank of America has one that, you know, for the first year and a half, there's no interest on what you owe at all. So what you do is you get that card, use it to pay off your first card, and now you bought yourself a year and a half to dig yourself out. The other one, if you're in credit card debt, here again, you can call the bank and ask for a break. You don't think to do this, but they don't want you to go bankrupt. They'd rather have you as a paying customer. So you get yourself a plan. You say, look, I'm unemployed, but I'm looking. I'll probably be employed by September. I can pay this much a month. Can you cut me some slack on the interest rate until then? And they will say yes.
We had a technical name when I was a financial planner that we used for your credit card hack that you have in here. We called it surfing, because you'd surf for that 18 months down to the really lower 0% interest rates. And when the wave goes back up on that one, you find another one and just keep that interest rate low for as long as it takes to pay off the card. And like you say in the book, you know, as long as you're not running up more debt on the card and you've kind of solved the root of that problem, this is a great way to get rid of paying the man.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny because I sought tips for this book from my followers on Twitter, and they submitted some really great ones, but a lot of them were sort of in the category of, buy one movie ticket and then slip into another theater and watch another one. Or, you know, tell the restaurant that it's your birthday and they'll give you a free dessert. So they're kind of like cheating. And there aren't a lot of those in the book. There aren't any of those in the book. That was kind of a policy thing. But yeah, you can go quite some ways gaming the system.
Yeah, that's your next book, Pogue's Basic Shady Money Tips. Right.
That's right.
The book is called Pogue's Basics, Money, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You About Beating the System. By the way, we went through, I think, just four or five of them. There are, I mean, everything from tech and TV, travel hacks, car hacks, food and drink, your body, exploiting group buying power, making money with no effort, the last legal tax dodges, personal money checkup, financial brain hacks. Every page is chock full of the kind of stuff we talked about today. And the cool thing, David, is at the end of each of these, you talk about exactly how much money you'll save if you use that hack.
Yeah, that's right. And that was a matter of some debate with the publisher. Right. So they made me put the math. Like, one of my favorite tips is buy your own cable box and stop renting it for $230 a year. So it's a one-time thing. And so it's easy to calculate. The box costs $100. So since you're now renting it for $235, you're saving $135 a year, things like that. Right. So if you add up all that math, if you were to follow every tip in the entire book, then this $15 book will save you $61,000 a year.
Bam. We should just drop the mic after that. The book's available everywhere.
Everywhere fine books are sold.
Yeah, and we'll have a link on our show notes if you're driving down the road or walking the dog or out on your morning jog at stackybenjamins.com. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. Obviously, as you know, David, nobody listens to the show, so it's just you and me. Any insider stuff you can tell us about what's coming up on Nova?
Yeah, actually. Thank you for giving me that wide open softball window there. We are trying to raise money right now for a new 2-hour special about the molecules of the periodic table. And it's a Kickstarter campaign. So it's nova.kickstarter.com. And it's going to be really cool. If you back our campaign for any amount of money, then I will send you from the scenes where we're shooting from my phone. I'll show you, send you like backstage pictures and bloopers and what we're doing. And it's a way to sort of become a producer of this science film. Backstage, you'll be with us. You'll have input. So it's a way to sort of strike back for science in this era when science and public broadcasting are sort of being defunded.
Oh, that's cool. You would have thought we set that up.
I thought so.
I had no idea that was coming. That was pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, on right now. So, yeah, it's the new special is going to be called Beyond the Elements. It's a sequel to one called Hunting the Elements that they now show. We did that in 2012, and then it's now a staple in science classrooms all over the world. So this one will be very, very cool.
Yeah, you want to hear a good potassium joke?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Oh, I love that. That's my new favorite joke. Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out, David. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, and thanks for that one.
Hey, trivia fans, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and David Pogue's show Nova, for some reason, makes me think of Carl Sagan and that other old classic show, Cosmos, which of course reminds me of Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld. That's logical, right? Of course it is. Here's a Cosmo Kramer question. On the now legendary episode, Kramer and George's dad, Frank, create a device to make men feel 10 years younger, have better posture, and breathe easier. What was the name of this device?
OG and I are excited to have two sponsors at Stacking Benjamins that we can send people to who will help any of our listeners get their financial house in order. First of all, let's solve your debt problems by sending you to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. That's S-O-F-I. We talked to Dan Macklin about SoFi because they started in student loans, but then quickly moved on from there. We wondered exactly why they started with student loans.
Student loans just seem to be a bigger issue for people. There's over $1 trillion of student loan debt out there. And it really is and continues to be a pretty inefficient market. Lots of people overpaying. But we've quickly moved on from that. So as well as student loans, we're now doing other things, including mortgages and personal loans. But student loans was just a great entry point because so many people were overpaying.
So if you're someone who's overpaying for student loans or for other types of debt, whether it be mortgage or personal loans, head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. And once you've been there, we'll send you to stackingbenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. Because the thing about Magnify Money that I find really cool is that they do not ask for any personal information before showing you how different financial products rank against each other. And part of that rating system is just how little fine print there is. So we asked Nick Clement, CEO at Magnify Money, to explain more about their rating system and helping you avoid fine print.
Oh, the fine print can get out of control. You'll always see marketing which tells you this is free or we're even going to put money in your pocket if you do business with us. But then when you look underneath the hood, you can find fees on top of fees on top of fees. And some of the worst are in the world of overdrafts, where you can be charged $35 per item. And then after 5 days of a negative balance, charged another $35. Particularly in that area, you see banks that are worse than payday lenders, although they're not advertised that way.
So for checking accounts, savings accounts, and debt products that you understand, head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnifymoney.
Welcome back, trivia fans. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and it's never too late for some Seinfeld trivia, is it? Of course not. Here was the question. On the hit show Seinfeld, Cosmo, Kramer, and George's dad, Frank, create a device to make men feel 10 years younger, have better posture, and breathe easier. What was the name of this device? The answer? The Bro. Or as Frank would have called it, the man's ear. Just imagine a bra and put it on a man, useful and much needed. Clearly something I would have thought of and marketed to success. Victoria's Secret, here I come. See ya.
Bam.
Wouldn't have to be a new company name though. I don't know, the Vicky's Secret, like they call it Doug's Secret.
Doug's Secret. I think Doug's Secret would stay a secret, don't you?
I started on Hulu. They have all of the Seinfeld seasons. So I started watching season one, just right from the beginning. It reminded me that Jerry was probably like 30 when this show first started going. Does that seem about right?
It sure seems like it, man. They look young.
Yeah. And so the entire first episode, all I'm thinking to myself is, what's your excuse, OG? What's your excuse? Man, when you get past that age when like all the people behind you are doing like really great things.
Yeah.
like Tom Brady and I are the same age. How about that? That's great.
Yeah, that depresses you, but you're on the Stacking Benjamin show.
It was a different trajectory.
Hey, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline to a lucky caller and tackle some of life's, or maybe unlucky caller, or some of life's, or rather life insurance's most important questions. Our friends over at Haven Life Insurance Agency, they've been spearheading innovation within the life insurance industry by focusing on those two things you value most, OG, your family and beer. Oh, no, I mean your time. Sorry. It's funny how they got that beer apparently didn't make the top two for you. I thought it was in there.
Not after last night.
It's why they created a high quality and most importantly, affordable term life insurance policy you can purchase entirely online. You wouldn't want to have a physical today. Blood test might not go well.
I would fail miserably.
There's no need to wait several weeks for a decision when you can get one instantly at Haven Life. Head to stackybenjamins.com/Haven Life now to learn more about life insurance the modern way. You know, our friends Bill and Jim listened to us from just outside of Denali, Alaska. These guys listen all winter long. They apparently run out of things to do, OG, because they listen. But Bill and I were writing back and forth yesterday, and Bill said he was listening to our friend Clark Howard's show, and Clark was talking about how much he likes Haven Life and how much he likes Magnify Money. So how about that? And Bill wrote to me, he's like, it's so great to hear like when the quote big boys like Clark Howard mention our sponsors. So stackybenjamins.com/Haven Life. And today we throw out the Haven Lifeline to our friend Matt. Say hello, Matt.
Hi, guys. Matt here. Wondering if you can get this question to Doug. I kept trying to send it to him through email, but I get bounce messages from sizzlerstud@AOL.com. Anyways, my question is about rebalancing your portfolio. I know you've talked about there's not an advantage of rebalancing more than once a year, but when something like Brexit occurs, it seems like there's the opportunity to rebalance there. So I'm thinking, is there a strategy that allows you to capitalize on both situations? If, say, it was more than 6 months since your last rebalance and there's a major market shift, you go ahead and rebalance. And conversely, once you hit 12 months since your last rebalance, perhaps you wait an additional 3 or 6 months to rebalance to see if you can catch a major market shift to get some of those advantages. Let me know what Doug has to say about this, and I'll keep listening for his trivia.
Just, Matt knows who drives the bus here, apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way,
and changes the oil, heals the tires.
By the way, it rotates the air in the tires. Do you remember that episode when he was rotating the air in the tires? Yep. Yeah. You know, by the way, Matt, it's not sizzlerstud@AOL.com. It's sizzlergigolo@AOL.com. He got the URL wrong, OG.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how you find Doug. So let's answer his question. Rebalancing, you know, every statistic shows that rebalancing more than once a year, you get minimal, it can help, but isn't proven to help a ton. So what do you think about Matt's question?
The way that we look at it from our business model is if it's something that we can justify from an academic standpoint, then it makes sense. So you're right. There has been no, to my knowledge anyway, research that has shown that rebalancing more frequently than once a year provides any additional value. right? If you rebalance twice a year, or three times a year, 12 times a year, or 24 times a year, all you're doing is adding transaction costs potentially. So, and potentially even tax things. Haven't seen any suggestion from anybody in the academic space that it makes more sense to do it more than once a year. That being said, however, we don't limit it to that once a year type of thinking. It's not like if your rebalance day is February 1st, no matter what happens between now and January 31st of next year, too bad, so sad. Because we do, in our investment models, put bands of variability. So if you're going to have a 20% position in, let's say, large company value stocks, we're going to allow that position to float up and down based on, you know, the market's going to go up and down, but only to the extent of plus or minus 10 or 20%, depending on, you know, how tight you wanted to make it. So if you're going to, you know, 20%, that means that you can go up or down 4 percentage points, right? So you can go from anywhere from 16 to 24 on any weekly, daily, monthly basis.
So you're doing more deviation-based instead of time-based. It goes outside that band you're talking about. That's when you pull the trigger?
Yeah, to follow up on what Matt said, which was, is there a way to, and I'm going to paraphrase what he said here, is there a way to time the market? That's what I heard him say. No, there's not. Because you might be right once, you might be wrong the other three times. So by having the range of acceptable fluctuation, so when something like Brexit happens and all of a sudden there's a big spike or a big decline in something, we'll catch that. And it will be time to rebalance. Another great example is what happened after the election. U.S. small company stocks went up 25% in the better part of 6 trading weeks. That was unheard of. So in some cases, it made sense to, you know, pull some of that money off the table because they now represented a larger portion than what we originally wanted. And that's what we're trying to do. Remember, rebalancing is not trying to speculate as to what's going to happen tomorrow. Rebalancing is, I want my portfolio to look like this because I know that this allocation provides me the greatest likelihood of the return necessary to reach my financial plan goals.
But if Matt's not betting and instead he sees that the market went down X after Brexit, that's not trying to time the market. That's just saying, I know the market went down X, so today seems like a better day than 2 days ago to have reallocated.
Correct. But you don't know that 2 days ago.
Right.
That's my point. You can't wait on executing your financial plan or your financial strategy because you're trying to find a better time to do it. By definition, that's timing. You could also extend that also out to, well, maybe I shouldn't invest my money in my 401k this month. I should wait and maybe it'll be down lower tomorrow.
I do think, though, that if you've rebalanced, let's say, you know, 3 weeks ago, and then Brexit happens and you have this gigantic, quick downturn, there's nothing wrong with doing it again.
Yeah, nothing wrong with looking at it to see if the costs justify
the means
there.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Or if you're in a non-tax sheltered account, to make sure that the, you know, also the tax consequences. We talked about that the other day, though. You don't want the tax consequences to wag the dog.
No, you don't. But you don't want to have the tax consequences wag the dog, the tail, so to speak. But you want to be aware of them. If it's something that you just did 3 weeks ago, to your point, and you have an opportunity to rebalance again because those bands got out of whack again, I wouldn't do it if just, you know, if my percentage allocation is off 0.5%. I mean, that's a daily market fluctuation.
Now, people like you guys, like advisors, will have these bands. Like, you have systems to help you do that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we look at it every day.
Yeah. I know we have Brian Barnes on from M1 Finance. They do that where you can set up separate little pies, but I don't see that often. I don't see places like M1 Finance where people can do it on their own that often, where you set up a band and say, hey, if this band goes with beyond that, like it usually takes an advisor that's got a system to do it.
Yeah. If you're doing it completely on your own, the best thing that you can do is look for those opportunities, kind of like what Matt said, and just be aware of them.
Right.
You know, you're not going to watch CNBC every single day, but if all of a sudden your buddies are all talking about the stock market, it might be a good time to run an analysis of your portfolio and see what the allocations look like.
Now, let's say that the Brexit happens, not to just belabor.
Totally beat
this point. But let's say that Brexit happens, and it happens a month after you just rebalance. Do you rebalance the next time a year after the Brexit rebalance, or do you just stick to the plan and just look for those Brexit type opportunities where the market falls when they fall and consider it an extra?
I don't know that there's any significant value one way or the other on either of those things.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
I mean, we're going to look, in my business, we're only rebalancing when it makes sense anyway. We're not hard and fast on it. We got to do this every year.
Right.
Because if everything rises over the course of a year, if it's a good year, then everything will stay the same in terms of its allocation.
Right.
It just will have, you'll have more of it.
If all the ships go up, right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Matt. If you've got a question for the Haven Lifeline and want us to throw it out to you, here's what you do. Head to stackybenjamins.com/voicemail. stackybenjamins.com/voicemail. Another thing that you can do is if you go to stackybenjamins.com and you hover over the About the Show, you'll see that a little menu comes up and there's the contact. And way down at the bottom of the contact is leave us a voicemail. And that is the Haven Lifeline. The Haven banner is right above it. But stackybenjamins.com/voicemail is the number one place to go. Doug also brings down the mail to us. And I love, OG, these letters that we get that extend the show. You know, because we talk about so many different topics on the show. I mean, our show by design is not one that gets in the weeds. So we try to introduce you to topics. And if you want more, instead of some podcasts that are like the last in the chain of teachers about a topic, we'll be the first teacher on 8 different topics. And then if you want more, you go dig more. So that's our goal. But I do like it when somebody wants to have a longer conversation is about a topic like Rick does. Rick says, longish listener, about 2 years. He's learned nothing but wanted to share 2 things to make sure that other listeners aren't learning the wrong thing. And I like this. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about balance transfer options as a way to do debt recovery. And I believe that that was with Nick Clements and Mandy Woodruff from Magnify Money. Remember our debt cleanse episode, OG? And they were talking about how if you go from one credit card to another, I call that surfing. Remember you said nobody calls it surfing but me, where you have a high interest rate credit card, go get one of these 18-month introductory offer cards where it's 0%. And then from there, pay it down as quickly as possible until the interest rate goes back up and then do it again, right? He said the necessary qualifiers were provided in the show about only doing this if behavior problems have been addressed first. He said, but one key point that we missed, he said, at least I missed it. If you use a balance transfer, it's really important you don't put any new spending on that card since the balance transfer will be a revolving balance from day one, albeit a lower or even 0% interest rate. But the trick for the card companies is that any other activity on that card gets treated as a revolving balance too and will be accruing interest. I think what Rick might be trying to say is that there can be a different interest rate on that balance transfer. That might be at 0, but new purchases on the card might be at 21.
And here's the other side of that. And I think this is what he's getting at. So when you're making your payments, let's say that you have a $20,000 credit card and you put $10,000 balance transfer and then you charge $5,000 and you're going to make your $500 payments. Well, that $500 payment, guess where they're going to put it? They're putting that on the 0%. They're going to let the $5,000 that you just charged at 20% earn interest for the next year. So you have to be really careful about the timing of that and exactly they put it.
Yeah, I got you. That's good. The other thing that he said, and I love this addition to the discussion, OG, there's another trap people can fall into. The balloon interest, though, when the offer period ends, you'll see that sometimes with these balance transfer. If you go one day over, let's say it's 18 months, you go one day over the 18 months, all of a sudden it goes up to, let's say 19% or 21%, but it's not 19 or 21 starting that day. They go back and retroactively apply all of the interest for that 18 months. I've seen this a lot with furniture stores.
I say this is a store card thing, right? So the store card would be an example of this. You go to Best Buy or something like that. And they say, hey, you can buy this home theater, no interest for, 24 months. Well, you have to make those, you have to have it paid off on that 23rd month. Cause if you don't, the 24th month, boom.
We also
call it deferred interest is what they call it.
It's dog and pony is what it is. He also mentions another episode. And that is the one where we had listeners on. We were talking about RFID blockers. You know, these RFID blocking wallets to make sure somebody can't come up behind your wallet, steal your information off of your card. He said that while people can do that, that it's generally, in his opinion, it's generally been overblown. He said the information that can be captured from the contactless chip card is not transferable to a counterfeit card, nor is it readily usable for internet purchases. The reasons are fairly technical, but suffice it to say there are security codes that are generally required for both traditional counterfeit cards and also for internet usage. He goes on, but basically what he says at the end is if you want one of these RFID blockers, in his opinion, he thinks that getting a metallic teabag wrapper and using that as a sleeve around your card does the same thing instead of paying a bunch of money for an RFID blocker. So I'm not an expert in that area, so I don't know enough about it. But I love the expanded conversations that people are having from the topics we talk about on the show. And obviously, when we have our Friday roundtable discussions, I've sometimes had people say, well, you said that. I'm like, no, man, we have a lot of people on the show, and they say a lot of different things, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we agree with all of them. But I love the discussion. So thanks, Rick, for adding to that discussion. If you've got a letter for us, letters now starting to pile up a little bit. Much better going with the Haven Lifeline, sending us a voicemail. We are going to do a letters episode right after our break, which, by the way, OG, this is your last day on the show before the break. I'll be back on Friday with, of course, our regular Friday roundtable and FreshBooks FinTech Friday segment. But you get a nice week off after this.
Okay.
Which it sounds like, yeah, you need firm recovery.
Tea and I do drink the tea and honey. I do that.
Yeah.
But I like whiskey too. So I'll probably have some of that too.
You put the tea bags in the tea?
I don't know what to do with that.
Well, I'm just asking. You make the tea with the tea bags, right? Does Mrs. OG like the tea bags?
Oh, yeah, she does. I knew you were trying to set something up.
Sorry, I had to have a.
Have a childish moment.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, probably didn't need to do that. All right, let's keep it moving. Hey, thanks to everybody who's called the show. And if you've got more in-depth questions that you need to talk to OG about in private, he is taking on clients and you can give him a call. I've actually got a nice letter, OG, from a couple of listeners to the show about people that work with you. I was talking about delegating tasks in my Stacker newsletter. And they said, yep, we've delegated tasks to OG and we couldn't feel better. So how about that?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because I read the first part of that. We delegated stuff to OG and I went, oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what's the second half of
that? It wasn't cooking or lawn mowing.
It turns out it was financial planning, so they're safe. Oh. But here's how you get to OG to get on his schedule. It's stackybenjamins.com/letter O, letter G. And he will talk to you about your personal financial plan. All right, that's going to do it for today. Hey, thanks to everybody who's referred us to a friend or who's left us a review wherever they listen to the show. It's been great to read some of the awesome things people say about us. I was so happy to see. It turns out it looks like I'll be appearing soon in the New York Times. So they're doing a special retirement section, and that'll be the next spot that you'll find me. You'll also find me on a show that's made mostly for podcasters called My Worst Interview Ever, where podcasters tell hilarious stories about these interviews that they did, and then they talk a little bit about their life. I'm on that show. So if you like podcasts and you want to hear about my worst interview ever, which actually ended up all right, I should say spoiler alert, but what you heard here on the Stacky Benjamin show ended up good, but the series of unfortunate events that happened before the interview are pretty bad. So you hear that wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, man, you're off to recover. Hope you feel better.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. And we'll see everybody back here on Friday. Go stack some Benjamins.
So what did we learn today? First, David Pogue got it right. The basics will help you beat the system. While everyone else is trying to focus on the magic formula, that doesn't exist. By systematically managing your money so it runs itself, you'll find yourself ahead in no time. Second, robo-advisors jumped on the scene with the new thing a few years ago. It turns out that the old thing might have been closer to the truth. Whenever anyone tells you that the old thing doesn't apply, remind them about the new economy talk back in 1999 or the real estate always goes up talk in 2007. That'll change the conversation in a hurry. But the big lesson? If you ever visit the basement, don't get sucked into Joe's mom's sweet old lady routine. Right now, David Pogue's sweating it out upstairs at the kitchen table, hoping to catch a break on the river after a horrible flop. If he doesn't score a king, mom's gonna steal all his gas money with her pocket aces. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul Sehi, produced by Richie Rutter Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. Special thanks to David Pogue. You can find his book, Pogue's Basics, Money Essentials, in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks also to Rob Berger for joining us. You'll find Rob's Dough Roller Show wherever you listen to podcasts. And no thanks to Victoria's Secret for turning down my new version of the man's ear. What's not to like? I just wish every man could see how great it feels to be lifted and separated. It appears I've fallen and I can't get up.
Welcome to the after show, the part of the show that doesn't exist. We did something early last week that we have to follow up on, which is that you and I went through some real meanings of movies. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Like, you know, there's the real meaning that the director intended, and then there's the unintended meaning that if you're somebody that likes finance or business, what you got out of the movie, which is something like none of your friends got out of the movie. You know, it's funny. I was watching this movie, Sing Street, again, which people have been nice enough in our Facebook group, The Green Room. By the way, if you want to find The Green Room and hang out with us, it's stackybenjamins.com/greenroom. And that will scroll down to the bottom of that page. It explains what it's all about. And there's a little click through because Facebook gave us this really weird name, but stackybenjamins.com/greenroom. But people are nice enough to say they saw Sing Street and they really, really liked it.
It's funny, I was flipping through Facebook on my personal Facebook page the other day, and I had two or three people that saw a movie. I can't remember the name, La La Land. Did you say that that was one of those ones you'd either really like or really hate?
Yes.
And they said they hated it. All three people went, well, that was 2.5 hours of wasted time.
I told you. I told you that one is, yeah, and that's going to be my favorite movie of the year.
But I'm going to go watch movies the rest of today after we get done with this. I'm going to lay on the couch and sip some tea and honey and whiskey and maybe some chicken noodle soup and see if Mrs. OG wants to rub my feet.
I'll tell you what,
Speaking of, did I imagine this or did we talk about my mom on the after show a couple weeks ago?
We just did.
Oh, okay.
Did she respond?
No, because I asked her, I called her the other day. I said, are you listening to the show still? She said, I'm a little behind. And I said, oh, okay. Well, you should probably catch up. And she's like, no, you didn't do it, did you? And I said, well, now I'm thinking maybe I dreamt it because this whole show is a dream. But apparently we did talk about mom on the show. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, just tell her stop listening right now before she catches up and gets to it. Yeah. So back to this. Oh, but Sing Street. So I was watching Sing Street the other night, and at the end of the movie, something happens, and it's really kind of a romantic spot, OG, but they're doing this thing. And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't do that. Like, these people need a better financial plan. Like, it's supposed to be this exciting, like we're journeying together to do this funny thing. And I'm like, yeah, I just can't see that. I was telling mom that. I was saying, yeah, at the end of Sing Street, I totally wouldn't have done what they did just financially. So while everybody else gets this warm ending, I'm thinking about the logistics. Well, we have a few people who also gave us some. Our friend Bill said, he's got a few of them. How about Risky Business? What's the lesson you took from Risky Business? Bill said the most valuable lesson he got out of it was don't hold all your cash in your hands when you're being shaken down by a pimp. So that's the.
I haven't seen that movie in so long, so it's hard for me to remember it.
You got to keep that cash hidden when you're. Well, I know you get shaken down by pimps often, don't you?
You never know. I don't even know what to say about that. It's ridiculous.
And Bill says it was good to see that he was glad to see I had a great time on my trip to Southeast Asia. Did I tell you I went to Southeast Asia?
I'm going to Europe. Did they tell you I'm going to Europe?
And you are. He said Laos is one of his favorite countries, and it was mine too. So that was awesome. Janelle writes us, and she saw the Goonies. Remember the Goonies? The kids. Yep. And the lesson, you know, Goonies never say die. They don't give up. But the real lesson, she said, is the bigger your mouth, the more money you make. She said, if you know what I mean. I haven't seen the Goonies in so long, I don't even get the reference, but I do. I think I get Janelle's reference. John says, from Frozen, you know, Frozen.
Now, this is something I can relate to.
Right. The younger sister hooks up with the ice maker guy, and the ice maker guy is going up to the top of the mountain to help the sister. And he says, the business lesson here is don't have your entire business based around the production and transportation of one product to a single customer. That's clearly not what your kids got out of it.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Blues Brothers, new products always hit the market before their expected release date. New Oldsmobiles are in early this year. Subplot, don't quit your primary job to chase your dreams until after you're sure they won't cause you to wind up in the clink, which I think is a good, like, do the plan so that you won't wind up arrested ahead of time. Alien, if a mysterious large company tells you they're sending you into deep space, you might want to think about that company's values before you go. Probably a good lesson. And then, of course, Total Recall. Did you see Total Recall?
Long time ago.
Yeah. Said, monopolies, they're a fantastic way to both squash a little man and make tons of money. So go get one. That's an unintended lesson. We have a few more, but I got to stop because we got to go. But thanks to everybody who sent those in.
Did you get all your Super Bowl prizes doled out?
Almost. We had a huge thing. Speaking of the green room, we gave away 22 books and 6 t-shirts and just sending them out. Richie is busy as we speak, sending those babies out. All right. Have a great week off. OG, have a phenomenal
Thanks, buddy.
Couple days. Everybody else, we'll see you on Friday.
Yes, sir.